Bo, you write quite a bit about that, about just getting a prompting to speak to someone or maybe go somewhere or do something. Can you talk a little bit about more? How do we recognize those promptings? And then the second step is be obedient to them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, one, there's the general revelation from Scripture that says, hey, go, you're my witnesses. So every believer, no matter what your gifting is, we're called to be a witness. We're called to reveal Jesus. We're called to be a light. So in one sense, we should have a general prompting, like we should be alert every day. Who are people that are around me that are open, that are aware? That being said, inside of that general sense of alertness, I think we can develop promptings from the Lord. One, and most clearly, as we hear him speaking to us, I believe God speaks to us today and will nudge us with his voice, the quiet voice. One of my friends, which I really believe is, he's put me on to the idea that we, you know, since we're body, soul, and spirit, we can even have a sense physically, like we can feel things in our body that are indicating something spiritual going on. And as I've paid attention to that the last few years, all tend to feel like a heaviness, like a burden. And oftentimes when I sense that, I'll ask a person, hey, you know, I'll ask them a question or I'll ask more about the topic we're talking about, and I'll sense, and then I'll see, hey, God is working in there. There will be a breakthrough in the conversation. What he would say is he feels a sadness come on him. When he starts feeling a sadness, it indicates to him to ask more questions, and oftentimes it leads to a breakthrough in the conversation.
Some people may say, well, I'm really not called to be an evangelist. I'm really not called to share my faith. That's my pastor's job, or that's an elder's job at the church. Those people, that's what they're supposed to do. How do you respond to that so that people will know whether or not they are called to share their own story as well?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the honesty. I get that question a lot, or that statement. What I would say is, are you called to tithe if you don't have the gift of giving? Are you called to have hospitality or be hospitable people if you don't have the gift of hospitality? Are you called to serve if you don't have a service gift? Absolutely you are. If your pastor is the only one who was called to tithe, your church would be broke. And what I would say is there are evangelists who are gifted specifically in evangelism, sharing the faith and training others, but we are all called to witness. And there are only certain people that are in your neighborhood, in your job, at your school, on your team that you can reach. Your pastor can. And in the same way, we all need to give our money. We all need to serve. We all need to be hospitable. Some are just more gifted or better at it than others.
I just encourage everyone that everybody has a story. You have your own story. It's not the same as my story, but you have a story, and no one can refute that, how God has worked in your life, how your life has been changed. And all you need to do is share that story, and that is being a witness.
Yeah, I think sharing stories is the most powerful way to get into spiritual conversations and make a pathway for the gospel to be shared. People want to see how Jesus is working in you. I would say today in our culture, as I mentioned earlier, people want authenticity. I think people want to know what is real, how it's working, more than they want to know what's true. So most of our evangelism training and tactics are about sharing what's true about God or the Bible. But I think most people today want to know, is this real? So they can hear your story. What do you mean God answered your prayer? What do you mean God healed you? What do you mean God's transforming you? What do you mean God spoke to you? They want to hear stories of how God's working in your life, because they're figuring out, could he actually work in my life? So learning how to tell stories of transformation where God's changing us and working in us is so important. And I try to lead with those and share those all the time with people that are not believers.
Well, and that story could lead them then to the next question once they get to the point of then asking, you know, can you lead me through scripture on, you know, what it is that Jesus did? What is Romans Road? Can you drive me a diagram? I mean, they may get to that point, but first you write that we need to share our experience so that, just as you said, they know that God is capable of changing a person's life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my goal is to be able to get them into scripture. My goal is to be able to share the gospel with them about Jesus, you know, life, death, resurrection and return. Like, I want to get to that, the importance of the cross, all of that. But most people, especially engaging people that are not going to church or not following Jesus, they're not going to be able to engage you with Romans Road right away. They need to hear your story. They need to hear how God's working. They need an entry point, call it the front door, if you use like a house analogy. If someone's intrigued by my story and I can discern that or tell that in the conversation, then what I do is I invite them into a scripture study. I'll invite them to what I call God investigation group, a gig. And that is Jesus interacting with another person. So woman at the well, or the lame man at the pool, or the blind man in John 8, those are what I would call gigs, like Jesus working in someone's life. And I'll sit down and I'll look at scripture with them, and we'll talk about who Jesus is, how he works in people's lives, and then the conversation will develop from there. So that tends to be the progression I go with: conversation, transformational stories, then some scripture, a gig, and then hopefully I'll be able to share the gospel with them and even pray with them.
Do you think that it's changing in how many of us were trained to have a spiritual conversation with people and in starting with you're a sinner in need of a savior? Do you think that that's changing with the culture, or is it just dependent on who you're speaking with, where you start?
No, I mean, both. I think the culture's definitely changed then from 20, 30 years ago, where a lot of our training is coming from. But I also think it depends on the person. So, again, if someone is a more of an experiential person, which most people under the age of 35 are, they're experientially oriented, then they need to be engaged with what is real, what is working, not with what is true. So what I mean by that is people that are asking what is true, they need to be engaged with how do you get to heaven, what is hell, why did Jesus pay for your sins? What does that mean? Really true, hard things in scripture. But if you're experiential, you need to be engaged with story and how it's working and what is real.
I circled a quote in your book. I'm going to read that. It says, "Sometimes our ego gets in the way, and in these moments, we're thinking more highly of ourselves than maybe we ought to. We all need an ego check here. It's important to ask ourselves regularly, am I tempted to chicken out because of how I might look or feel, or is this genuinely a bad time to bring up Jesus?" So how do we discern within those great fun conversations we're having with people, getting to know them, where it might be appropriate to bring up Jesus?
Yeah, that's a great question. By the way, on BoCrescetto.com, I have 3 evangelism videos, and I answer in 20 minutes a video, what's the difference between being bold and what's the difference between being pushy? How do you navigate the difference? And what I would say is that there's always going to be a time when you have to bring up Jesus. What I would say, it's on the witness, it's on the Christian to be proactive. You see that in scripture all the time, Jesus versus disciples. We have to break the ice. So there will always be a time, no matter how great the environment is, that you will have to take a step out, ask a question, turn it to Jesus, and you're going to have to check. I call it the curiosity pulse. Like, you're checking their pulse for life of curiosity. Is this person open? Are they curious about God? So when you're at a dinner party or you're with a friend, you're going to have to find a moment where you're going to have to ask them, hey, do you have a spiritual background? Hey, would you ever want to talk more about faith? Or hey, you're going to have to interject and see, are they open? Are they curious? Depending how they respond determines if you will be a pushy person or a bold person. If they are open and they're like, yeah, I would like to talk about that sometime, or interesting you bring that up, my wife and I were just talking about that the other day, now it's your time to be bold, to go forward, to keep going, to push in, and to see if you can get a great conversation about Jesus happening. But if you check their curiosity and you interject a question like, what's your spiritual background? And they say, oh, you know, I don't really have one, I'm not that interested in this, you need to shut that conversation down and not go forward, because you would then become pushy. So there is a difference between being bold and pushy. And oftentimes we're trained, like, keep going, keep trying to get them to understand you or share your testimony. And I find that really pushy. I'm looking for open people. And if they're not open, I'm fine waiting, praying, continuing conversation about other things.
And so once you can kind of figure out, hey, maybe I can go somewhere, maybe I can say something, then that's the time to not walk away, correct?
Yeah, I would say that oftentimes on the other side of awkwardness is a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And even the most powerful moments I've had, whether it was with my dad, whether it's with my neighbor, whether it's been with classmates, they always have a tension point where you're like, I don't know if I should bring this up. Like, I'm driving with one of my neighbors and he's sharing with me about depression, about alcohol, all these different things. And I had a moment where I was like, maybe I should bring up, has he ever considered where God is in this? Well, that's a tense moment. I don't want to like blow this, but I also felt like the best thing I could do for him is help him understand where God is in this problem. And so I literally decided, I felt like I need to bring this up. So we're driving in the car and I said, hey, Ben, have you ever considered where God could be in these issues that you're struggling with? And I sat back, was quiet, and let him respond. And he said, I've never considered that, but I'm open to it. Like, what do you mean? I've never even had anyone talk to me about God before. And so that was like that deep breath of sigh of relief, like, okay, good, you responded well. So then I went into a longer conversation. But if he would have said, you know what, I've never really considered it, I don't like talking about God, it gives me the heebie-jeebies or whatever, I would have said, hey, no problem, just wanted to check in. Like, no problem at all. Let's keep talking. And I would have then been patient and waited for another opportunity another day. I wouldn't have pushed him to give it a chance. But what I often will say to someone like that is, hey, no problem at all. If you ever want to talk about faith or talk about God, think of me. Like, I'm a person that would love to talk to you about it. And oftentimes people that have questions don't know who to talk to. So don't ever feel bad bringing it up with me. I love helping people figure out where God is and what he's doing. And I love setting that tone because it lets them feel, you know, take the pressure off about having the conversation now. But if another day when they're putting their head on the pillow and they're reflecting and they're thinking, man, I do have these questions, well, instantly I pop up in their mind and they go, oh, I should ask Bo about that. He already cleared the air on that. Mm-hmm. And I've had people come back to me and ask me, hey, you know how you said I could ask you a question? I do have one now. And then it's great. It's authentic. It's normal. It's organic. It's not pressuring.